want to ask Carmen to go ahead and come, and she asked me to pray over her tonight, so I just invite you to pray with us, and let's just believe the Lord together. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, that tonight, as Carmen speaks your word, Lord, that it'll have great authority and power, Lord, even as the Lord Jesus, when he spoke with authority. And so, Father, I just pray that the word of the Lord will flow through her in great anointing and authority. Lord, that she'll just be a vessel of the word of God to flow through, that you would speak to this people tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that she is a vessel of your spirit. Father, that she's just being used of you, Lord, to say what you desire to say to this people. I thank you, Lord, for the fruit of it tonight. Lord, that people be blessed. Lord, that you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited about tonight because the people are going to get healed tonight. Are you ready to get healed? Amen. You know, the title of my message is Believe with Joy. Believe with Joy. And the reason I came about with that is I was just thinking about, you know, it just makes me angry at sometimes when you can get to, I've been at this place before, to where you just have this pain inside because you just wonder if you're ever going to get well, where the Satan just beats up on you and you just, when you put your head on the pillow at night and just that pain comes, you think, I'm just never, my loved one's never going to make it. And that's just the devil beating up on you and stealing your joy. But I can say tonight with confidence, God wants you well. God wants you well. And in your believing for him, you can believe and you can have joy in your heart while you are believing. God's will for you is to live in complete health and wholeness. I had this confession I make often over myself, and it is this. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Nothing is broken, nothing is missing, and nothing malfunctions in this body. And I said, that is for you. You need to be able to say, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Nothing is broken, nothing is missing in this body, and nothing malfunctions. Because that's the way God created me, and that's the way I'm supposed to be. You see, for you, our Heavenly Father, and for me, he has a work for us to do. And a strong, healthy body with totally healed members enables us to be more effective in our work for him. So if we're going to be effective, we're going to do all that God wants us to do, we need to have strong and healthy bodies. I tell you, that's something to rejoice about, that God does want you well. You don't have to wonder. You can know he wants you well. See, when Jesus walked this earth, over and over in Scripture, it tells that he healed all. I love that little three-letter word, all. He healed all. There was not one example in the Scripture where he chose not to heal somebody for some reason or another. So see, you're not the exception tonight. He's not going to point you out and say, no, not you, not tonight. That's right. He never said that. So I want you to get your faith up tonight. God wants you well. I want to talk to you about how you can believe God to heal your body and to do it with joy in your heart. You know, when we pray for an instant healing. But, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes we have to stand in faith and believe despite what it looks like or what it feels like. And it's during that time of standing in faith, before you can see or feel anything, that you can still have joy in your heart. Because Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, if you have that joy in your heart, then it will strengthen you to be able to believe. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice those words, joy and peace in believing. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. It says, so I pray for you Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? That's us. You are a Gentile, so that this is speaking to you. So I pray for you Gentiles that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. He wants to keep you happy and full of peace as you are believing in Him. I pray that God will help you overflow with hope in Him through the Holy Spirit's power within you. See, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside us, and He'll give you the power to be able to believe and have a joy and peace as you do that. You can get to a place where, despite what it looks like, you can have joy and peace in your heart. You truly can. I know that. The third time I faced cancer, I had joy and peace in my heart all through that because I believed the Word of God. It was alive in my heart so I could have joy and peace. Now, about you, I like joy and peace. That's you. When it comes to believing God for a miracle, you can be up one minute, all excited and believing God, and then you can plummet down where you're just upset and just don't really know what's going to happen. Just when you're alone or in the middle of the night, or maybe you've prayed and your situation just gets worse. I tell you, we have an adversary that never gives up. You know, we've been talking about that on Sundays. You have an enemy. The devil is your enemy. He's always there to whisper to you, to whisper lies to you, saying it's not going to happen. You're never going to get well. But the Holy Spirit inside of us never leaves. He never leaves us. Never forsakes us, and He's always there to help us. So how can you believe God to heal your body and do it with joy in your heart when it looks like it's not working? How can you believe God to heal your body? How can you do that? How can you do that? I tell you, you can do it when you truly believe what the Word of God says. Healing is not hard. Let's not make it hard. Healing comes as we believe that we receive what God has promised for us. So I want us to take time to look. We're going to take some time to look at the Word of God to see what it says about our physical bodies. I tell you, I just want to use this example. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. See, that verse, that particular verse brings great joy to my heart. Now, for you, it may not. But for me, it also brings great faith to my heart. Why? Because that particular word is alive inside of me. I believe it with every fiber of my being. So when the just even any day, I can tell you, if a pain comes to my body, there's the evil one. It's cancer. It's coming back. No, Psalm 118, verse 17, I remember that and I speak that I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Faith comes, joy comes, the pain goes. But it's the Word of God that did it. It's the Word of God alive in your heart. The devil, he is a liar. He's going to come to try to get you to not believe what the Word of God says. He'll come with a pain. He'll come with condemnation. Try to say, you don't deserve it. You know what you thought. You know what you did. You know what you did on the internet. You know what you watched on TV and you shouldn't have. You know you went to the lake and didn't come to church. He does that. He'll try to condemn you to say no. But you see, you do not earn a healing from God. Healing comes by just believing and receiving what the Word of God says. I tell you, the Word of God is true. God never lies. He doesn't exaggerate and He doesn't change. What does the Word say? Well, I'm going to begin with something a little bit different. It says, and we're going to begin with Matthew 14, 14. Now, before I start, if you need healing in your body, I want you to receive these few scriptures I'm going to share. Receive this into your heart. Choose to believe it. And by the end of this service, you can receive your healing. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be next month. You don't have to think on it for a long time. You don't have to quote it 1,000 times and then your healing will come. It can come tonight. Amen. Expect it. If you don't have faith in your heart, say, well, I'm going to listen and I'm going to receive that word. And that faith is going to enter in my heart and I'm going to be healed tonight. Amen. Okay, Matthew 14, 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Look at those words, moved with compassion. That shows me how Jesus feels about those who are sick, how our Father feels. He's moved with compassion. He doesn't want people to be sick. When he sees you hurting and in pain, he's moved in compassion for you. He doesn't want you to be sick. Isn't that good news? He doesn't want that for you. And let's get Mark 1, verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, look at those words, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. And he said, I am willing. Be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He was moved with compassion when this man came up with leprosy. He didn't want him to have that anymore. And what did he say? He said, I am willing. And he's saying that to you. I am willing to heal you tonight. I am willing. I am willing. So what do we see in the Word of God so far? That God wants, he loves you, he has compassion and does not like for you to be sick. We also see that he is willing to heal you tonight. Amen. When you're sick and hurting, Jesus is moved with compassion. How great the Father's love is toward you. What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. And you can put your name in there. For God so loved you that he gave Jesus. What did Jesus do out of his great love and compassion for us? He bore the price for sin that was provided healing for our bodies. I shared this verse before, but you've got to know this. You've got to have this verse down in your heart. Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes. What are those stripes? That's that scourging he took. That's that beating he took so that we could be healed. Don't allow the devil to say, oh, make that verse old hat to you. Oh, I've heard that before. You allow the Holy Spirit to make that verse come alive in your heart and become something that makes a difference in your life. It has to come alive as you think on it and as you meditate on it. It is amazing what the Holy Spirit can do with a willing vessel who just take the moment to think on it and meditate on it. He'll make it come alive in your heart. Jesus did a complete work, didn't he? Spirit, soul, and body. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself, speaking of Jesus, he bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Look at those words. He bore our sins. We must remember, where does sickness come from? It came because of sin. The cause of sickness is sin. Sin is what brought disease and pain and sickness into our world. All sin has consequences. All sin. Because God is a just God. The penalty has to be paid, and Jesus paid it. When he put those stripes on his back, he said he wore those stripes so that you could be healed. There it was. The price has been paid. What does the Bible say about our bodies? That the price has been paid for these physical bodies to be healed and to be whole. It says in Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I keep doing Psalm verse 1. I keep starting at the beginning. But verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all, that wonderful little word, all your diseases. You see, when we look, what are we seeing in the Word of God? He has compassion on you. He doesn't want you sick. He loves you. We see that he is willing. He says, I'm willing to heal you tonight. He says that the Word of God tells us that Jesus has paid the price. And I'm telling you, that blood that he shed, that is enough to cover any sickness or pain in your body. What else does it say? Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I highlighted two words in those verses, curse and blessing. Sickness, disease, and pain is a curse. Settle that in your mind. It's a curse. It's a curse. And it's through faith and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we believe that that blessing of Abraham comes upon us. And part of that blessing is healing and wholeness in our body. He says, what does it say in John 10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We can't confuse this. You say, well, I'm not confused yet. But yes, sometimes we do. We think, well, maybe the Lord allowed this to come on me for a certain reason. No. Sickness comes because of sin in this world. It's from the devil. Sickness is a curse and it's bad and it doesn't belong to a Christian. Healing, wholeness, that's the blessing of God that belongs to you. John 3, or 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. See, God wants us well. He's moved with compassion. He's willing. He paid the price. Sickness is a curse. It is not from God. So what do you do when your body is attacked? What do you do when you're in pain? What do you do when you get that bad report? You fight. You fight. It says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. We fight a spiritual, it's a spiritual battle that we fight. And you will, it's a fight that you will win if you will not give up. We fight by praying. We fight by standing on the word of God. We fight with the words of our mouth. What words do we speak? We speak the word of God that has become alive in our hearts. It is so important that you open your mouth and speak. I want to talk for a minute about how important it is that we open our mouth and speak the word of God in faith. We're going to go back to that great chapter in Isaiah 53, the great redemptive chapter. And I want to look at a verse, Isaiah 53, verse 7. He, speaking of Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted. What was he oppressed and afflicted with? Well, part of what he was oppressed and afflicted with was the sickness and the pain that belonged to us as a result of the curse. As a result of sin. That's part of what he was oppressed and afflicted with. And this is what I want you to notice. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Remember those words. He opened not his mouth. Now we're going to go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Now here's Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane here. He has just poured out his heart and prayed to his Father and preparing. He knows he's just hours away from being crucified. He knows what he's going to face. And he's just finished his prayer. And here comes Judas with the soldiers. And we're on verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. What happened when Jesus opened his mouth? Power came out and something happened. Now, I don't know exactly what that meant, how they drew back and fell to the ground. But when he just said, I am he, that's all it took. You know, we see all through the Gospels, when Jesus opened his mouth, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he cast out devils. When he speaks, power comes out and things happen. Well, let's look at another part of this same story in Matthew chapter 26. Now, Jesus has just got through praying, agonizing in prayer because he knows, and now he's ready to face the cross. And here come those soldiers. But you know, the disciples weren't ready to give up, and one of them took a sword, and he was going to defend Jesus. He wasn't going to let those soldiers take him, and he swung that sword, and he cut an ear off of one of those poor soldiers. What did Jesus do? His great compassion. Here's the ones coming to crucify him. He knows what they're going to do. He picks up that ear and he puts it back on and heals that soldier. What a compassion. There in the middle of what he's fixing to face, he takes time. He's compassionate. He doesn't want people to hurt. He heals that man. But here we are, verse 52. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" See, Jesus knew what he had to do. See, Jesus was innocent. He could have opened his mouth and called for deliverance from his heavenly Father, and he would have done it. He didn't deserve to be punished, but Jesus chose instead to bear that punishment of sin for you. He chose it so that you could have a relationship with your heavenly Father, you become a child of God, and that your body would not have to be sick, and that you would not have to be in pain. He opened not his mouth. Now let's go to Acts 22. Acts chapter 22. This is about the Apostle Paul. This is all going to connect together. Just stick with me, I promise. Acts chapter 22. The Apostle Paul, I believe he's in Jerusalem, and he's made some people mad. Imagine that. He's got some Jews so mad at him. I mean, they're fixing to kill him. They are so mad. There is such a ruckus going on about Paul. So the Roman soldiers see that something's happening. So they come in and they pull Paul away from those are about to kill him. And they're curious now what's going on. So they decide they're going to scourge Paul. They're going to whip him. They're going to beat him. They're going to torture him and to find out what's going on. So they're going to beat him for a while and ask him what's going on. If they don't like the answer, they'll probably beat him some more. So here's the situation that Paul is in. And they're tying him to this whipping post. They're going to scourge him, the Apostle Paul. Verse 25, as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Because, see, a Roman citizen, if you're a Roman citizen, you had rights back in this time. If you're a Roman citizen, you had the right to a fair trial. And you could appeal all the way to Caesar's court, which is exactly what Paul ended up doing. He eventually appealed all the way and went to Rome before Caesar. But how did Paul miss that beating? They were going to beat him. What did he do? He opened his mouth. He opened up his mouth. Don't let Satan tie you to a whipping post and beat you. Open your mouth. You are a child of God. You are a citizen of heaven, and healing belongs to you. It belongs to you. Got to speak up. Jesus took that beating for us. He didn't open up his mouth so that we could. He was silent so we could speak. He took that beating so we could be healed. He was bound so we could be free. I tell you, Satan puts pain and sickness on people and they just take it. They just take it. How many times I see in my own life that I just take it. Oh, it's just a little pain, and then it gets worse and worse until finally we kind of get around to praying. Don't do that. We have to speak. We have to say no to sickness. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." You see, if you believe, you need to speak it out. Speak it out. We fight by praying and standing on the word of God, and we fight with the words of our mouth. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Here we have Jesus and his disciples, or they're walking along the road. It says, "The next day when they came out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, and here he is. He's opening his mouth. He's speaking. He says, "Let no one eat fruit from you forever again." And his disciples heard it. So they go on to Jerusalem. They do some things. And the next day, we'll go on down to verse 20 of Mark 11. "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" I tell you, words spoken in faith are powerful. They'll dry up a tree. You know, it took a while for that tree to wither, didn't it? It didn't. When he said, "No one eat fruit for you now forever," it didn't just go all of a sudden and die, did it? They didn't see any change at the moment. But the next day they did. We pray for you tonight. You believe, you receive. Amen. Many of you, you're just going to know instantly. You're going to have an instant miracle. But if it doesn't happen instantly, remember the fig tree. We're speaking to that. You speak to that cancer. It's like, "Cancer, you can't stay in my body. You die in the name of Jesus." And it'll shrivel up. It might not be overnight. It took me a few years. But that thing shriveled up. It can't stay in my body. It can't stay in your body. It might take a while. You may not see it. You might need to stand in faith and just believe what the Word of God says. And open up your mouth and speak to that mountain. It says in Mark 11, 22, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain," what's the mountain? Mountain is whatever you're facing, whatever sickness you have. "Whoever says to that sickness," to that pain, to that disease, "be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." If you believe you receive, you will have it. Now, it may not be instant, but you just keep believing. You keep believing, and it will come. Open your mouth. You speak to that sickness. Say, "Sickness, you get off of me. Pain, you get off of me. That's unlawful. You can't stay on my body." Mark 11, 22. What did he say? Jesus says, "Have faith in God." I tell you, the only way, only safe way to live in this world is to have faith in God. That is the only safe way. About 10 to get days ago on a Monday night, about 5 o'clock, I was here before a ladies' meeting. I was back in this room over here, and I was preparing my last-minute preparations to speak. And from 5, meeting was at 7:30, I started feeling bad. About 5 o'clock, my stomach started hurting. But I kept studying. But it got worse and worse. By 7:30, it was severe. And it made me so mad. I wasn't able. I had to come out and tell the ladies, "I'm sorry, I can't speak. I'm hurting too bad." So they prayed for me. But, you know, I was in too much pain, and it made me so mad. Because, you know, the devil's just, when you speak, I just spoke on healing, you know, on the Sunday morning a couple of weeks before. You know, that's just like the devil. He'll come in and try to put something on you. But anyway, I was hurting so bad. And so my husband, he took me. We went to a couple of clinics. We left here and went to a couple of clinics, and they couldn't get to us. And I was hurting so bad, I was just crying. I said, "Mark, I can't stand it. You got to do something." He carried me back to the car. The clinics, they couldn't help us. As he was carrying me to the car, he said, "Vain is the help of man." That's a psalm, if you don't know that. Vain is help of man. I was like, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I can't stand this. I can't take this all night." So we went home. We just had a peace. No, we're just going to go home. And we just were praying, believing God. Carla came, and she knelt beside the bed where I was laying. I told her, I said, "Carla, I've never hurt so bad in my life, or it's as bad as anything I've ever felt." And so she laid her hands on me and prayed. And I'm telling you, when she got through praying, the pain started to go away, just a little bit. And it was later I realized, you know that, when she prayed, it started to go away. And within about 2 hours, the pain was pretty much gone. And by the next day, no pain at all. See, but let me tell you what happened the next day. I woke up no pain free. I thought, "Yes, God healed me. This is great." Because I knew something was really wrong. I mean, it was really bad. But you know that every once in a while through the day, that pain would try to come back. And I would say, "No, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm the healed." And I would just, you know, speak to that pain and, "No, you're not going to come back on me." But by Wednesday, I mean, I was just totally, completely great. And so, you know, but we have to have faith in God. Sometimes, you know, the world just can't help you. How can you believe and have faith in your heart? It's by keeping the Word of God. That says, I just want to wind up here pretty quick. It says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, my son, give attention to my words. Now, this is how you can have faith to believe, okay? Don't make it hard. It's easy. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in your heart. So you've got to keep the word before your eyes. You got to hear the word. You got to get it down in your heart. Then what happens? This is the great verse, verse 22. Their life. What's life? The word of God. It's life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. See, the word of God is health and it's life to your flesh. Jesus took that beating, didn't he? He was punished for me. Satan will try to steal, kill, and destroy, but you got to challenge him. You got to defy him and resist him. Jesus took it. By his stripes, I am healed. I say, when you're discouraged, it's the word of God that's going to bring joy to your heart and give you the strength to fight. It's that word of God that's going to give joy and give you strength to fight. Now, we're going to pray tonight. Would you go ahead and stand with me? We're going to pray for you to be healed tonight. Is there sickness in your body? Now, listen very carefully. If there's pain or sickness in your body, God wants to heal you. Or maybe you have a loved one or a friend that you know is in pain and needs to be healed. You can come and stand and agree in prayer for them. But also, let's say you heard this word tonight and you say, you know, I'd like to believe, but I don't know. I don't know if I can believe or not. Will you come down and have a prayer partners come. You have a prayer partner pray with you. Be honest, say, you know, I heard that word and I want to get to the place where I believe God. I want to do that. You come and ask them to help you, that God will cause the word to come alive, that the helper of the Holy Spirit, come and ask for prayer to help your unbelief, to be able to come to a place of faith where you can believe God. Amen? Well, let me say a prayer for you, over you. Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you that tonight you have ordained for people to be healed and made whole in this auditorium, in this place tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak to hearts now, speak to lives now. Give them the courage to come forward and to pray and believe you for healing in their bodies. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, as Leslie sings, you come if you would like to be prayed for and expect to receive tonight. Thank you, Lord.